So a young boy had just gotten his driving permit. He asked his father, who was a minister, if they could discuss the use of the car. His father took him to his study and said to him, "I'll make a deal with you. You bring your grades up, study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut, and we'll talk about it." After about a month, the boy came back and again asked his father if they could discuss the use of the car. Then again, they again went to the father's study when his father said, "Son, I've been real proud of you. You brought up your grades, you've studied your Bible diligently, but you didn't get your hair cut." The young man waited a moment and replied, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. You know, Samson, he had long hair. Moses had long hair too. Noah, he had long hair. Even Jesus had long hair." To which the father also replied, "You know, you're right, but they also walked wherever they went." And so it is fitting for us to embrace the role of father and all that God would intend in the context of that. But like we did in Mother's Day, I really wanted to focus our attention on Genesis 1, 26 and 27 in terms of God's expressed purpose in what he has created us to be. Because in many ways, a mother starts being a mother and being a woman, and a man starts being a father by being a man. And so that's kind of the foundation of what we then become in God's economy. And as you know, as I talk about, you know, doing a message that sounds more like science than it does the Bible, it's almost like I almost think to myself, is something happening here? That good? All right. Again, sorry about that. But as I started on Mother's Day to talk about women and just the glory of what God created you to be as a woman, I want to focus my attention on that. And again, where I was it's unfortunate. You know, I don't know if other churches deal with sound in the way that we have dealt with sound in the context of this church. We have done everything we could to make things better, to look at problems, you know, look in aspects of technology, so on and so forth. But really the thing I'm trying to say, it's sad that I would have to give you a science lesson. that this should be so clear. Of course a man is a man, and of course a woman is a woman, but it's pretty clear that our society is confused over those things. So Father's Day, us being a man, is all God's idea, and basically we have been created uniquely as men. You know, while a woman is uniquely gifted to be a child bearer and nurturer, again, in terms of what God has made her, in terms of her body, a man is uniquely gifted to be a protector and a provider. Men are, in general, more muscular than women. Women are just over half as strong as men in their upper bodies and about two-thirds as strong in their lower bodies. So what that means is that even though you might have more strength in your legs compared to a man, it's still less than what a man has. And when it comes to what you have in your upper body, a man just is far stronger than you. Even when you talk about elite athletes, a 70-kilogram elite male can squat 35% more than a 70-kilogram elite female, and this goes up to 57% more when both athletes are 120 kilograms. So again, it's very clear that God has made a man in a unique way in that aspect. I mean, it's estimated that only 1 in 20 women is as strong as the average man. And so that's what we're dealing with in terms of just, you know, God's purpose, God's design about how he has made us. Women are around 30 to 35% muscle by weight. Men are 40 to 50%. So again, you think about God's purpose. You think about God's design. You know, even when you think about all that we studied on Mother's Day in terms of all the what the woman's body does to create life and all the things that happen in her, how she sacrifices in the presence of that. If you even think about, you know, maybe more simple society where maybe there's not the rule of law, where now the female is weakened by the state in terms of what she is in, carrying a child and bearing a child, well, now God's purpose of putting a man who is stronger, bigger, faster, do you get it? Do you get what God intended in the presence of that? The next slide points again, with a lot of information here. On average, men are 10% larger and faster than women. The size difference persists from birth, that boy babies tend to be bigger than girl babies. And across all speed events, women consistently achieve only 90% of men's speed. So again, when you think about agility, you think about strength, you think about speed, all those things that are commensurate with being a protector, being a provider, it's all there in terms of what God intends. You know, realistically, what we find is the fact that, you know, every man has XY chromosomes in every cell of their body. Every woman has XX chromosomes in every cell of their body. Now, you can do whatever you want to your body to conform to some reality that you might think is what you want to define yourself by, but you'll never change the fact that every cell has XX for a woman and every cell has XY for a man. And the significance of that is it affects just about every aspect about the way your body works. That it's clear in creation, in God's design, that God has a purpose and intent for making a man and making a woman a woman. Like, even though in generalities we're similar, two eyes, a nose, a mouth, so on and so forth, but when you think about how hormones work, how your brain functions, how your body interacts with different systems and chemicals and so on and so forth, completely different for a man and it is for a woman. And so again, I'm just highlighting certain things that are true to kind of make this point. And to the extent that men, you know, kind of get bolstered up in their aspect in terms of who they are. If that's a result, that's fine too. Male bones are bigger and stronger in both size and density. Peak male bone mass is around 50% more than women's, and women lose bone faster as they age. That's why, ladies, for you, taking calcium is very important as you age because you lose your bone mass more. The reason why women who are getting older tend to have injuries, even when you think about sports injuries with women, you know, their ligaments themselves are weaker and more elastic. Again, they need to be prepared for things to stretch and move, and so therefore they can't be very rigid in terms of their bodies, and so that's why you might find sports injuries happening around joints and ligaments, because for a woman, that's just how you're made. And again, there's really nothing you can do about that. And mainly, I hope you wouldn't want to do anything about that. You know, that ultimately, as we talk about the differences between men and women, this is not about being better. This is not about being more important. This is not about being more valuable. It's just about being different. And it really is embracing what God intends, embracing who we are. Even as the world's emphasis seems to be on men and women are the same, and you know, you can just choose what direction you go in what choice you make. It so goes against science. It so goes against biology. It goes against what God intends in the context of how he has created us. And you know, so that's what I'm hoping this information reinforces in your heart and in your life. Men have bigger heads. Women, you've known that your whole life, right? That's not what, that men have bigger heads and longer arms and legs than women relative to body size. Men have bigger brains too, even though they only use half of it. But again, we have bigger brains. We're more segmented in our thinking. A woman has more connections between her hemispheres. But you think about decision making. You're like, I'm not sure about you, but when I have 20 options, that's not helpful to me. Give me 5, I'm okay with. Like, you know, again, don't just give me chocolate and strawberry. But if, you know, there's a rocky road and so on. But don't, like, I get confused by that. Like, it's almost too much. And when you think about decision-making, having clear thinking, having other things not coming in the picture. But then you think about managing a home. You think about managing children, how important that is for you to multitask, how important it is for you to think about this, that, and the other in terms of just the basic aspects. See, we have to remember, too, in the context of this, is that, you know, we have different... You know, in other words, we have the XY chromosome, we have the XX chromosome, but then when you think about testosterone and estrogen and how much that drives your development, and what you find is there are certain men that have more testosterone, and then there are men that have less testosterone. You have more women that have more estrogen and women that have less estrogen. So therefore, you might find different dynamics where there's a man that maybe looks a little bit more like a woman, acts a little bit more like a woman, has the body type that's a little bit more like a woman, more effeminate, but it's still XY. It's still his the majority aspect of his biology is still functioning in the way that God intends for a man to function in terms of what God intended for the basic aspect of life. So you might be different. Like, as you talk about generalities, you always have to remember there are individual people that defy those generalities, but it's in the generalities, to me, that God is expressing his intent. That, again, he's showing that in many ways, again, the woman is intended for this, the man is intended for this. And when you think about, you know, it's almost funny that in Mother's Day, you know, we talk about the woman's body, because it's consistent with Mother's Day. Think about all the things that God has put in you to birth a child. You know, the man's contribution, you can't talk about that because it's very small. But it's after the baby's born and after when the mother is in a weakened state where now all of a sudden, you know, the bigger heart and the bigger brain and the faster and the stronger. And now all that comes in where now that's exactly what the woman needs in the context of that. You know, again, we've developed in society and have, you know, gotten technology where we're not as vulnerable. You know, we have the rule of law, so there's not that aspect of needing to protect so much. But in terms of what God intended and how he has created us, there's still that dynamic functioning. You know, and anyone can make a choice to build up more muscle. You know, when I looked at that, when we looked at that figure that women are generally 30 to 35%, men are more 40 to 50%. Anyone can, you know, go to the gym and build up more muscle, whether you're a man and you're increasing your muscle, you're a woman. But as you find women working out, they can never match. They can never match what a man does in terms of strength. They can never match what a man does in terms of their development of muscle. And again, it's just the reality. And so again, either we're going to fight against that or we're going to embrace it. You know, I believe that God would want each of us as individuals to be the best person that God intends for us to be. But the best person God would intend for you to be as a woman is to be a woman. The best God that God would intend in terms of being a man is being a man and being the best man or the best woman that God has made you in the individual nature of how you are even in interacting with these dynamics. But again, you think about that more segmented thinking, a woman has more connection with her hemisphere, between her hemispheres. Men have more information containing gray matter, and that's why we're more like just the facts, please. But women have more white matter, didn't say that when I made that correction, have white matter, which connects different parts of the brain. Women have bigger memory centers than men. You know, the reason why you can remember more, the reason why when you're having a conversation, what happened 5 years ago is substantive. For a man, if it didn't happen 5 minutes ago, it doesn't matter. You know, you notice those conversations. Well, that's how you're made. But to think that is consistently what is there, and that God doesn't have a purpose for that. You know, God doesn't have a purpose in terms of completing, in terms of complementing. You know, when you think about the glory of a man, the glory of the woman, what God intends for them to be together. See, I think that's the better part of the message that comes from Scripture in that. Yes, a woman is glorious in terms of her femaleness, and a man is glorious in his maleness. But the divine plan for bringing them together, and now we're complementing each other, and we're reinforcing each other, and we're making each other better. You know, even when God is expressing his intent that let us make man in our image, male and female he made them. You know, it is kind of interesting that God has always presented himself in more of a male aspect. You know, he is our heavenly Father. Jesus came as a man. But we do have to understand, if God is expressing his image in making them male and female, that female has to be in God too. Like in other words, all that you are in your femaleness is an expression of who God is. All you are in your maleness is an expression of who God is, because we are bearing his image, letting him be known more, letting him be more evident because you're a woman and because you're a man. But the fact that we can see this in a sense scientifically in terms of how we're made is really amazing to me. Men have larger hearts and lungs than women. Women happen to have larger livers, stomachs, thyroid glands, and kidneys than men. Women have lower blood pressure and a faster heartbeat than a man. And women have 20% fewer red blood cells than men. So again, red blood cells, what do? They carry oxygen. What's so important in the context of activity? You know, it's the oxygen that we have in our red blood cells that invigorates that. You know, an interesting point I didn't bring up in terms of just the whole idea of the, you know, men's muscles, you know, in that dynamic being a predominant thing about what makes a man significant or different in terms of how God has made him, is men's muscles are more solid than a woman's due to a higher proportion of type 2 fast twitch fibers. These types of muscle fiber contains a lot of protein, but not much blood. It can expand and contract rapidly with great force and generate its own energy, but it draws on the rest of the body for oxygen. Because of this, type 2 muscle fibers get more tired more quickly. Although it varies by body type and genetics, men's muscles are proportionally about 50% more type 2 than women's. And so again, that's what leads to our strength. That's what leads to the instantaneous nature of, see now women's muscles actually can last longer. Like you actually will get fatigued not as fast because of the type of muscles that you more operate on. But our muscles are meant for strength in terms of what we do in the context of activity. Men have thicker skin than women, about 25%. They also have a higher density of the protein collagen. You know, I know you women, you don't like that because you want collagen for your hair and your nails and so on and so forth, but the reality is we have more of it. You know, maybe that's why men age a little better than women. But again, it's... Oh. Should I have not said that out loud? It's just the facts. Men and women see things differently. When it comes to depth perception, distance vision, and lighted environments, and I mean the skin, I mean the hair. I'm not making a comment about anything else than, you know, like, you know, I just leave it. Just okay. Yes. Okay. So when it comes to depth perception, distance vision, and lighted environments, men have the edge, women have better night vision, visual memory, and peripheral vision. So again, you think about the hunting, you think about the providing, you think about the protecting, and seeing far off is really important. When you're dealing with all the different aspects of, well, where's that kid and where did he go? It's again, it's the peripheral vision that is more important. Women blink twice as often as men. Just an interesting fact. Again, because part of this does just become a study of we're different. You know, there's an aspect of, you know, this is what makes a man and kind of defines him as a man and what's unique in him, but there's also just an expression of just how God has made us different. And what then that intent would be in us living out that difference and appreciating that difference. And men are 10 times more likely to be colorblind. Now, there was an interesting thing that I did and read is if you just hold up your hand, and particularly hold up your hand next to your, if your husband or wife or man or woman is next to you, hold up your hand and put it like this, all right? And so basically, more commonly for women, this finger is your second longest finger. For a man, it's your ring finger, okay? And so therefore, if you as a man, your third finger next to your pinky is longer than your index finger, that's an indication of how much testosterone you have. How much testosterone you were exposed to in utero. And for a woman, if your index finger is longer, that's an indication of how much estrogen you were exposed to in utero. But it's an interesting dynamic in terms of what is tends to be different about a man and a woman, that this is the woman's second longest finger, and this is the man's second, the ring finger. Again, all the things that God would intend about what how he would reinforce the differences between us. You know, another thing that's true is that when you come to understand this information, you become smarter than a lot of Congress people, a lot of senators, and even Supreme Court justices. If you were ever asked, what is a man? What is a woman? And you can't answer that. That's a sad state of either society of your thinking in terms of just recognizing what God has established. And for that to be vague, for that to be dismissed, for that to be set aside is really sad in terms of God being the God that reigns, being the one that's created, the one who has always sought to bring us to a place where his truth and his understanding that is the thing that prevails, and to lose this most basic aspect, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me, like I said, that as a pastor, I feel like I have to give this message. Like, in some ways, I would want you to be equipped with the idea of, yeah, this is how God has made a man and a woman different, and focusing them on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Now, testosterone correlates with a square chin, a stronger brow, cheekbones, and jawline, as well as a more prominent Adam's apple correlating with a larger voice box. See, basically, the reason why men have lower voices is the fact that our voice box is bigger. And so, therefore, the cartilage around that protecting the voice box also needs to be bigger. And so, therefore, that's why men tend to have an Adam's apple and women don't. But again, if you don't have that, see, again, that's an indication of this, you're just not expressing that testosterone as much. Male hair growth is also related to androgens. Like, the reason why men tend to be hairier than women is they have more of these androgens in their body. You know, I was actually reading one woman who said that women are actually a greater expression of humanity because they don't have as much hair. Like you men, you get hair all over the place, and you're more like the primates. You're more like the animals. You know, whereas we as women, like the expression of humanity is, you know, we don't have a lot of hair. So again, but that's related to those androgens that are different between men and women. Estrogen lends itself to higher eyebrows, fuller lips, and a rounder jawline with a more pointed chin. So again, this is what makes a man look like a man and a woman look like a woman. And then what you have in the context of both male and female, you have different amounts of testosterone, different amounts of estrogen. So again, you could have a woman that is still XX, but looks like her jawline, her brow, whatever, might look more like a man because the amount of estrogen she has is not as high. And guess what? She's still a woman. You might have a man that has low testosterone, has more of an effeminate face. And yet, guess what? He is still a man. You know, it's actually interesting as they do studies that when it comes to reproduction, women choose men that are more heavily manly. Like when it comes to the jawline and all the things that testosterone brings, but when it comes to partnering with someone with the idea of spending their life with them, they actually look for a man that has more of an effeminate face. And again, just an interesting thing that happens, you know, without plan, without intent, but that's just the way things work out. This is an interesting point here. While male metabolism burns calories faster, the female metabolism tends to convert more food to fat. It's actually interesting that during exercise, a woman's primary fuel is fat. For men, it's carbohydrates. But men's metabolism burns calories faster. The female metabolism tends to convert more food to fat. Women store the fat in their breasts, hips, buttocks, and as a subcutaneous fat in the bottom layer of their skin, giving women's skin its softer, plumper feel. You know, so you think about, like, we're fairly unhealthy people. so therefore, when we look at us, we don't necessarily express, you know, what the highest echelon is of what a person should be. You know, because women get their fat, you know, in those places. Men, it comes all here, you know, in the stomach. But what's interesting about this is the reason why you would associate a man with kind of this chiseled, hard, strong, muscular body is because of the way of what's happening here. That the reason why a woman tends to be, again, more round and curved is because of how she processes fat. And again, that's God's intent. Like that's what. And I'm not saying, this has nothing to do with behavior. Like I'm not saying, well, because you're a woman, you need to be in the kitchen and having kids. You know, something. If you're a girl, you want to be a policeman, go be a policeman. You want to be a man and be a hairdresser, be a makeup artist, be a makeup. But you're still XY, and you're still XX. Like, well, I'll get to this more on July 4th, but we have done a bad job managing behavior in the reality of gender. And I think that has created some of the dynamics that we're facing today. But again, you'll have to wait till July 4th for that. But again, God expressing this intent in the very way that we process things. A man looking like a man and a woman looking like a woman. Now, something is true about the uniqueness of a man is men are much more prone to nearly every illness than women. every illness that human, except for those that are specifically female, like ovary cancer or you know breast cancer, you know you're more prone to those things. But every other illness, men are more prone to those things. And there is a dynamic of what God has placed in a woman that actually protects her health more, and that's why she tends to live longer than a man. But again, the whole point of this is to understand that God had a glorious purpose in making us man and woman. You know, all these things that are reflected in biology is just a part of what makes us different between men and women. But to think that God had the idea, again, the grand plan, like when you talk about what God is establishing right off the get-go, okay, my desire, my plan, like the way this world is going to work, like it. You've heard me say this before. It didn't have to be this way. God didn't have to make them men and women. He could have made a man and man, women and women, man and goat. But it was man. This is what he's intending. This is what he's desiring. And then see, to me, for him to put all these things in our biology that then defines us in a way that differentiates it between each other, but then says, go be fruitful and multiply. Now go with the intent of you being in relationship with one another, when now the beauty of who you are is appreciated and challenges the other person. See, I think that's the point. There's an aspect of a man being with a woman and a woman being with a man. It's like, you know something? This is great. She's awesome. He's great. This is awesome. She aggravates me to no end. He aggravates me to no end. And both of those are God's intent. See, when you think about what God, like how God works in our life, I mean, haven't you found this consistent with our God? That in some ways he gives love, kindness, blessing, grace that supports us and undergirds us in terms of our lives. But then God also corrects us. He challenges us. He convicts us. He purifies us. So therefore, it's clear that our God is not seeking our happiness so much as he's seeking our godliness. And so therefore, to match a man and a woman that would not only support us in the different aspects that we would, but also to challenge us, to convict us, to make it hard. Like I think some of those things you find in biology, some of the ways that men and women are, God put in place so it would frustrate you, that you would think differently, because the best approach to solve a problem is to think differently. And to think that, what people are missing, like I get how, well, how much time do you have? Like, I get how in some ways a woman being with a woman and a man being with a man is easier. So let's just say, like in other words, when I'm with a guy, like we're thinking of the same thing. Like what kind of movie do we want to watch? How are we going to approach this project? Please don't talk to me while I work. You know, all the different things that men are doing in terms of accomplishing something, and yet women are doing something together, and there's synergy, there's sameness in that, and I can understand how that's a great thing. And let me just say this, that God, like, intends for that. Like, when you think of the picture of Jonathan and David, and how close Jonathan and David were as men, for David to say to Jonathan, I love you like I love a woman, that is not homosexuality. That is an expression of a godly relationship between a man and a man where we're bros, where we understand each other, and that's okay. But it never would then result to we're going to live together or not lose, again, how what is challenging about being with the opposite gender. And so therefore, there's not only an intent in terms of what God is expressing in terms of a man being a man and a woman being a woman, but also embracing what God's intent is as far as what he desires about a man being with a woman. You know, in many ways, Father's Day cannot exist without a woman. Mother's Day cannot exist without a man. You know, in terms of the most common practice of what God desires is a man and woman being together and God fulfilling his purpose through that. Again, that we're both supported and completed by the other person because they are different. God put in things in place on purpose to be challenging. And so that's a big aspect of what I desire to accomplish in these messages, is to recognize that, is to embrace in that, to glory in that, especially as the world is discrediting that, is coming against that in terms of how they're thinking. And so I think if there's anything that we represent in terms of the greatness of our God, the greatness of our Creator, the glory of who he is what he has made and what his intent is in making it that way. And even as we're frustrated by the opposite sex, to embrace that. Boy, am I glad that my wife is different than me. Boy, am I glad that my husband is different than me. Yeah, it's hard, and communication is tough, and I don't understand what she's thinking, I don't understand what he's thinking, but the whole point of it, see, because you're not supposed to be you when you're engaging in marriage. You do realize that, right? That you should be like Jesus as you're engaging in your marriage. And you know, let me just say, you know, as we talk about, and I'll finish with this, as we talk about God's primary intent, the usual path of what God intends and puts in place and so on and so forth. You know, we just have to recognize the exceptions. And if you fall in the pattern of exception, then just realize God has a wonderful plan for you. See, God is big enough to, again, make what is natural and normal and then meet you where you are in terms of what might not be. Well, how you're not that way. I felt very badly about the fact on Mother's Day, as I talk about the glory of a woman and the glory of pregnancy and all that God makes in that, to not mention that if you have not been able to make a baby, God has a plan for you. Like, you don't stop being a woman because you can't have a baby. You don't stop fulfilling God's purpose because you're not married. You don't stop fulfilling God's purpose if you're a single dad or a single mom. That God seeks to come beside you in any aspect of life and say, now, in what might be broken in the context of that, let's bring that to the place that I have for you. See, again, God has these general purposes for all of humanity, for all of time, but then he meets you exactly where you are. And so therefore, where there's any aspect where you deal with, oh my gosh, that's not normal, and other people are like this, and I'm like this, well, you know something? God seeks to meet you and lead you in truth, lead you in godliness, lead you in purpose, give you comfort and consolation, love you just the way you are, but then lead you in the path that he has purpose for you, the design that he has given. And so there's no place, there's no situation we could ever be in that God wouldn't say that I know you, I care, and I have a plan. I know you, I care, and I have a plan. And our job is to get to know him and get to know his plan. Amen? Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you have defined things very clearly, not only in your word, but in terms of what you have expressed in the context of our very being. And so, Father, I just do pray that more and more we would embrace what it means to be a man, embrace what it means to be a woman, and the glory of God that is found in both. Father, I confess, I apologize as a man for how poorly we have managed that throughout history. But Father, in a time where we recognize that more fully, where maybe we recognize the mistakes that have made in the past and we correct that in the way we conduct ourselves. But Father, I pray more and more we would be the kind of people that are the man that God intends for us to be, is the woman that God intends for us to be, and meeting us in the individual nature of who we are, but still following your path towards those things. And so, Father, we just thank you that you're a God who is personal, so personal in that way. And so, Father, we lift this all before you in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.